you're at a place where you feel like maybe it's been hard for you. You have felt under the gun, challenged, stressed. Maybe it's a family issue. Maybe it's a financial issue. Whatever it may be, you're in a good place because you're not alone. We're all in this journey together. Jesus said, in this world there will be suffering. And what better place to bring that than to the table of grace? In just a few minutes, we're going to receive the elements. As Christ entered into suffering, we can know that he is fully acquainted with whatever it is we bring into this room, whatever it is that we face tomorrow. And so I want you to know that it matters not who you are. This is an open table. We have a place for you. It matters not what your denomination may be or if you're a member of a church or a member of this church. We just ask you to simply celebrate what Jesus Christ has done for all of us, and that is to give his life as a ransom to redeem us and to give us eternal life. And so welcome to the table. And I just want to reflect with you a little bit in the midst of this series entitled Worship Up. And Haynes did an awesome job last week talking about corporate worship. And by the way, Haynes is going to be married on Saturday. Isn't that awesome? He's preaching downstairs. Yeah, I'm happy for him and for Michelle, and we're pumped that they're going to be serving as a team right here at Martha Bowman. But, you know, talking about worship in what we're doing now, and that this is, as the hymn says, a foretaste of glory divine, some of the things we experienced while Kyle was leading us with the praise team and the worship team is just an appetizer. Some of the things that we feel and experience in this hour or will feel and experience is just a start. It's tantalizing. It's just a taste. And it's taste and seeing that God is good. It's tasting and seeing that, as the scripture says, God is good. All the time, God is good. That's exactly right. And so we come in corporate worship. We gather, and the scripture says that something significant, something mystical, something supernatural happens when two or three are gathered in his name for his name's sake to worship him. One sociologist says there's a collective effervescence. There's a fragrance that collectively God inhabits the praise of his people. So something special happens when we gather here. And that's why I believe Paul said, do not forsake the gathering together of believers. It wasn't that he wanted the believers to feel guilty that they might not come to worship periodically. He didn't want them to miss out on what the Holy Spirit could really do in the midst of worship. And next week we're going to be talking about our personal time with God. When we worship, when we're alone with God, maybe you call it devotionals, devos, quiet time, whatever you want to call it. Just some time of contemplation, solitude, quiet, where it's just you and God. And that's hard. Because I don't know about you, but I'm ADD enough that I struggle with getting quiet with God. And so I have to have some creative tools to help me. And so next week, we're going to talk about that there's no one formula for spending and how to spend time with God, but there are some creative ways in which we can move into that and touch the hem of the garment of Christ to experience intimacy with God. But today, what I want to talk about is more worshiping up in terms of outside of those two, corporate worship and our private time with God. I want to talk about what it means to worship God is the essence of our being, as the very nature of who we are. That when we live out our lives, whether we're at rest or play or work, that we delight in the Lord. And that as we delight in the Lord, we offer our worship. You see, in a beautiful way, we were created in the image of God. The very purpose we have is to be at worship in the way that we live our lives. outside these walls and outside the quiet times of our lives, when we're in the community, when we're at school, when we're at the workplace, when we're in our homes, when we're at a social event, how is it that we are offering our lives as a living sacrifice unto the Lord, as an offering of worship? Well, one of the problems that we stand facing is, well, a number of things, but one in particular is we're going to worship something. We can theologically put that presupposition out there. We're going to worship something. And oftentimes we find that our worship gravitates toward ourselves, ego, or we may value someone, idolize someone so much that we worship them. And what we find is that they will fail us because they are human beings. As much as we love them, they are flawed. They're going to come up short. And so we're going to be disappointed if we make ourselves an idol or if we make someone else an idol because of their human frailty and their fallenness and their shortcomings. And so as we shift, what I want us to see is worship in that everything that we do and everything that we are is really a lens by which we glorify God. God longs for our attention. And we worship what gets our attention most. Think about that a minute. The Westminster Catechism says this, that the purpose of man, the chief end of a human being, the purpose of a human being is to glorify God and enjoy God forever. Think about that a minute. God is to be glorified. That's our purpose, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. What does it mean to glorify God? Well, part of that has to do with what happens in here. When we sing our praises unto God, when we offer our hands unto God, when we offer our gifts and tithes and offerings, when we give of ourselves in a setting like this, in a way, in a very real way, we are glorifying God. We're magnifying God. We're saying, God, You are bigger than we are. You are the audience. You receive our attention and our affections and our love. You're worthy of that. But glorifying God is more than that. Glorifying God means that I reflect the very character and nature of God in the way that I live my life. It's funny, this week I called my daughter Rebecca. She's, how old is she, Delia, 23? Yeah, okay. I just know we had her. And she's 23, and she answered the phone just like Delia. Anybody had this in your family where your daughter sounds like your wife? And I mean, it just sounded just like Delia. Just in the way she said, hey, just the same way. And then when we got into the conversation, she laughed like my wife, like her mother. I thought to myself, that is so Delia. Well, that's what glorifying God is. It is when we reflect the image of God in such a way, the character of God. God is good by nature. God is loving by nature. God is forgiving by nature. God is benevolent and generous by nature. God does not keep record of wrong by nature. God does not promote evil by nature. These are all the things that are of the nature of God. And when we reflect those things, we are glorifying God. We are magnifying God so that when other people see us, they say, that is so God. That is so godly. That is so godlike. And see, you don't have to just bring your worship here. Your worship goes with you. In your very disposition and your behavior. To glorify God means to love God in all that we do, and to offer whatever it is we do unto the Lord. A scripture that we have today that was to be highlighted, 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Let me read that again. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Paul is writing the church at Corinth, and he's saying, listen, expand your understanding of what it means to glorify God in all that you do. And I think about some of what you do. We have those in this room that are advocates for others. Glorify God in what you do. We have others in here that educate and invest in lives other than themselves and their own families. They pour into the community. Whatever you do, glorify God. Some of us are in the medical profession, and you give of your hands and you express your faith through the ministry of healing. Do whatever you do for the glory of God. And some of that has to do with vocation, but you know, it can be more than that. It can be a simple act, and you see where you are as an altar unto the Lord, whatever it is you're doing. There was a church father that said, when I wash the dishes of other people, that sink becomes an altar before God. One church father said, the glory of God is when man is fully alive. What is it that really brings you alive? What is it that in you we can see that you are alive in Christ? And whatever that may be, whatever work setting that may be, wherever your home is, wherever your school is, that is a place where you can glorify God and enjoy Him. Now, there's some things about our jobs we don't like. But you can glorify God even in those settings that are difficult. And you can be fully alive. those of you who are younger, let's say that. When you think about what God is calling you to do, one of the key questions is to ask the question, what makes me fully alive? What is it that when I engage it, I feel as though I'm glorifying God? I like Eric Lytle and what he said. You remember in Chariots of Fire, they interviewed him, and one of the convictions he had was not to run on Sunday. You'll remember that. So he entered in another race and did quite well and received a gold medal. But in that, they asked him, they said, how is it that you were able to run so well? And I like what he said. He said, when I run, I feel the pleasure of God. When I run, I feel God's pleasure. What is it that you do or that you want to do or that you need to pursue that allows you to feel the pleasure of God, to be fully alive and to glorify God in such a way that people are able to say, I think I know who he spends time with. I think I know who he's fully devoted to. I think I understand the commitments that this one that I'm watching has made in his or her life. And they tried to get Jesus, and the religious leader said, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in all the law? And Jesus answered very simply. He replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind And in the Old Testament, it's reflected and recorded with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws and prophets hang on these two commandments. And so as we come to this table, as we come to this altar, while this altar is very special, be mindful that wherever you go, there is an altar before you. And you are called to glorify God, just like Jesus glorified his Father, to trust him, to be grateful to him, to obey him, and to reflect him in this world. That's your worship. That's our purpose. Let's pray together.